Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
recollections of growing up in South Australia in the 60s to 70s. And I'll just give a general orientation of South Australia and Adelaide, where that is, and then put you in space, then in time. So Adelaide is, if you have a map of Australia, it's on the bottom part of Australia, and roughly the middle, so to speak. So you've got a sort of a curve underneath where it goes to Tasmania. At the bottom of that curve, the bottom of that thing is Melbourne. Coming up around the edge, 700 kilometres away, is Adelaide, and there's a desert state of South Australia, a very hot, dry state. And Adelaide's a planned town, or I suppose the capital of South Australia, one of the seven states. And it's largely flat inland a little bit. It's nestled with some hills on the outskirts. So if you're there, particularly in the 60s and 70s, there's not a lot of high buildings around, so you can actually see the sort of fawny coloured dry hills. And I do remember watching a quarry, being able to very much see a quarry, a scarred, where they took a lot of material from the hills. I'll give you a bit more view on that. So in the time, I'm from roughly 2 to 12 years old, I spent in South Australia, and mostly in one place called 3 Talbot Grove, Marriottville. So this is a small sort of little micro suburb. That is, the other suburbs have been cut up, and this was just a street-long suburb address. It was sort of an oddity. So it was in the area of Norwood, which is possibly about 4 kilometres from the centre of Adelaide. So Adelaide itself is a square kilometre by square kilometre, and then there's about half a kilometre of, well, half a kilometre of parklands surrounding the entire capital, and after that there's some suburbs, so you go a little way to go up there. Now, to put you in time, so that's where we're talking about, and as you know, I'm 2 to 11 years old, so a formative time when you start to have memories for the first time there. But I'll also put you in space. It's 1965 to 75 I was there, and 65 is the start of the it's in the height for Australia of the Vietnam War. 66, I think, is the Tet Offensive. The space race is on. I was actually born the moment President Kennedy was assassinated. So a whole sequence of things that happened in world politics. But we were very much at that stage following behind the United States, sending troops off to Vietnam and that sort of stuff. And so in youth, there's, for people overseas, you had Lyndon Johnson in power. Kennedy had died, and after that was Richard Nixon. And at the end of my story, I think Nixon was out, and I think they put in Jimmy Carter. So that gives you that period of time there. Now, of course, the fashions were the height of the 60s, and all the fashion was burnt orange and flares, and people with sideburns and long hair, and the Beatles, and some pretty clunky music. The music I do remember was Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head, and Little Green Apples in the Summertime. There are two songs I remember. Little Green Apples, because my best friend at the time, Martin Palmer, I used to sing it. And Raindrops Keep Singing in My Head is a song that my brother used to sing. And I'll just give a quick story about how he fell in love with a cat. So he really liked cats, so we decided we weren't going to get a cat. But he began this cat was hanging around the place, and he began to sing to it with his little ukulele, Raindrops Keep Singing, Falling on My Head. And he used to stand up in a chair and sing to the cat. The cat was around there and spent a long time around the house. And then it was at Mrs. Hermanson, or two doors up, this woman fed this cat, and she took the food of bowl of food away, and the cat leapt up and bit her, and she was in hospital. And the realization that it's better to have a cat you know. And so we got our first cat. It was called Ginger Push. So we lived in a beautiful little house. It was a fairly thick sandstone walls, 1960. It had been expanded. The back porch was filled in. That was made into bedrooms and a playroom, and there's a little laundry. It's a very small house. I suppose it would be possibly a little bit bigger than an apartment nowadays, a few bedrooms. And there was a central room with windows out of it. So in the centre of the house was all these halls, but in the centre was a room with windows out, and that was our TV room. And we used to go and have our black and white white TV to watch, and we'd have tray tables to sometimes eat food while watching TV, or the kitchen table. And there was a cellar there, so there was a pantry, and beneath the pantry, on the pantry floor, you could lift up. And we were never as loud as kids, except when we were just selling the house, to go down and see inside the pantry. It was a great view. And it was sort of a moister pantry, which was pretty amazing, because most of South Australia was very hot and dry. And I do remember on the outside of the house we had water cleaning. So the South Australia is at the end of the Murray River. So if you can imagine, all of Australia drinks from this one river. There's one major river in Australia, and puts the effluent into this river. So, and then the river gets more and more silty. So by the time it reaches South Australia, relying on river water, as were, the water is very dirty. I sort of remember having baths, and the baths would fill out, and you'd get, even if you didn't get in, there'd be a dirt layer, silting at the bottom. And people used to have their rain tanks and drink from the rain tanks. And I do remember being served tiny with cordial, these aluminium cups, anodized aluminium cups, and they'd taste very metallic. And there'd be these little wrigglers floating in the top. So there's always lots of mosquitoes. It's going to be a shortish story here. We'd have a Hills hoist at the back of the house. And as kids, we used to love jumping on the horse and spinning around. And we span round and round. And just before we were about to sell the house, I think we sold the house for $5,000, 75. And just before we sell it, I had one last swing on the clothesline. So this is a rope clothesline. In Australia, we have this invention. I don't know whether it's overseas. It's this cross-like mask you go up, and it's got several lines of wire going in a square, and you hang your clothes on that, and then there's a crank handle, and this lifts this telescopic tube up into the air, lifts your clothes up into the air and dries it. That's a clothesline. So as kids, you can jump on this as the ultimate swinging thing, and you just go around. And of course, metal fatigue took its toll, and at the very end it fell over, so we had to pay extra money to have this put upright again. So that's the Hills hoist. I could give it lots of descriptions of the place. We initially had just a classic wire fence at the start, at the front of our little house, and that didn't afford a lot of privacy. And we were right next to a convent, and back then there were still nuns about the place, and the nuns would walk past, and I'd be out the back playing nude, and my mum would have to hide me from the nuns as though it's walking past. And then that eventually got covered with a brush fence. And I do remember the brush fence going up and watching all the little doodads there, you know, pouring the concrete, putting the wood into pour the concrete, and then putting the brush And today, this is possibly 40 years later, there's still a brush fence. I went past there, and I wanted to go back for memories, but my family at the time said, "Oh no, don't be embarrassing, and go back." And just one parting memory. I'll give a few more memories there. It was it had a little patio or porch as you came in, and these beautiful thick sandstone blocks was made out of this. And it wasn't hard sandstone, it was a soft river sandstone. So if you got your hand or a rock, you could just chisel away a bit like a sand dune. So you couldn't do that too much. But the tiles on this little patio had a little circular steps, and my mother would go out there with her varnish and varnish the steps. And of course this was a feature which was never to be repeated. I never ever saw anyone ever varnishing steps again. I do remember the house being painted by Mr. Chomas. I think he was Hungarian. We visited his relatives in Michigan. And I do remember he made a putty tiger for me. I was really amazed by that. And of course, I'll just finish this off. I'll tell you how long this is going for. 11 minutes, more than enough. I used to be very inventive. And so every morning at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, I'd get up and start hammering and sawing and cutting and making huge amounts of noise. And that was just allowed. It was great, great fun. And I'd try and make one invention a day. And when my father went overseas, I used to try and make heaps of inventions and machines for him by the time he came back. So that's the story of a happy childhood. And I can talk about various toys and things like that. But this is just a test, easy listening podcast. Thanks for listening. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.